He is mine. He is mine. I am blessed beyond all measure. He is mine. I have pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me. Saved forever I shall be. He is mine. I have pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me. Saved forever I shall be. He is mine.
Amen.
Praise God, he's mine. I'm his and he is mine. I'm in him and he's in me. Praise God. I thank God that I'm not what I was. Thank God for that. I have him now, praise God. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I've been wrestling back and forth between two messages the last couple days, and still working on the other one, so I had to put it on the shelf for today. I intended on preaching it, but it did not all come together in time, so I'll try to bring it next Sunday. But this morning, I want to focus on 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture, but I want to dig into it just a little further and kind of look and see what all is in it. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17, and let's read that this morning. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." How many times have we quoted that? How many times have we read that? Lots and lots and lots. But the last five words of that scripture, "all things are become new." I want us to dig into that just a little bit this morning. We won't go too deep, but I want us to dig into that this morning and look at the all things that come with regeneration, because that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about being regenerated. When something is regenerated, it's not the same as it was before. It's made over. It's made into something new. It's changed completely. It's supposed to be a transformation that takes place when something is not what it was before, just like that caterpillar crawls up the side of that tree and it spins a cocoon around itself, and you might see it go in, you might see it do it, but once that transformation is through, once that thing has been regenerated, it ain't going to come out of caterpillar anymore. It's going to come out of butterfly, and it's going to look totally different than what it was before. Although it's made up of the same material, it's not the same thing anymore. Amen. And when we come to Christ and we get born again, we're not the same anymore. I mean, I guess if a butterfly wanted to, it could crawl around on the ground for the rest of its life and never flap its wings. Never. I mean, I guess it could just crawl up the flowers and take care of that. But God made it different. God gave it, and that change, God gave it something to not only have a whole new way of doing things, but a whole new beauty about it that it didn't have before. We look at a caterpillar and say, "Well, that's just an ugly old worm there. I don't want that thing on me." But a butterfly, I don't know anybody that's scared of bugs that don't want a butterfly to land on them. You know, there's a difference that takes place. And in a believer, there's something new. There's lots of things new about a believer. And I guess what I want you to look at this morning, what I want you to do is I want you to ask yourself, am I new? Not that we're completely transformed all of a sudden, because we know that there's the method of sanctification, that God changes us day by day as we get closer to Him, as we better understand His Word. His Word washes us and cleanses us, and we're renewed day by day. We know that, but we're to fully mature. We're to grow into the thing that God has given us. And so that's what I want us to look at this morning, the all things of regeneration. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning. Thank you so much, Lord, for being a child of God. And Lord, as we take our salvation out and look at it today and see just what we have in Christ, Lord, I pray you'd encourage us. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that we'd lift our eyes up from the dumps we walk through so many times. And Lord, we'd look toward heaven, we'd look toward Christ, we'd see what we are. And Lord, that we'd try to walk in those shoes, Lord, and be pleasing in your sight. Father, we're not what we were. We're not like the rest of the world who's lost without Christ. We're not the same, and we're not to walk the same. We're not to live the same. We're not to act the same or talk the same. Lord God, please take the word of God today, hold it up before us. Let us take a look at ourselves and examine ourselves according to the word of God. And Lord, may we see, Lord, the parts of us that we're resisting your changing work. May we see this morning, Lord, the areas that we've slacked off in, Lord. I just pray that, Holy Ghost of God, you take the message, Lord, simple as it may be, and Lord, that you do a great work in our hearts and our lives today. Father, we're thankful for all the men of God this morning who are around the world preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray this morning as the power, the word of God goes forth, that it would go forth in power. We pray the Holy Ghost would convict sinners, bring them to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord God, we pray that you'd give folks fruit for their labor as they labor in the word of God. I pray the same here, Lord. Pray, Lord, you'd work in the lives of those who've come to the house of God this morning. Lord, and those who've tuned in this morning to listen to us on the internet. Lord God, I pray that, Father, you'd bless them and all that will listen to this broadcast. Father, we just pray that the word of God would Lord, just take purchase in their hearts, Father, and change them. Change them into what you would have them to be, Father. We thank you now, and we ask your blessing. Lord, I pray you'd put your Holy Ghost upon me. Lord, that you'd fill me with the Holy Ghost of God, every fiber of my being, Lord. And you control these lips. You control my mind. Father, I'm just a sinner that's saved by your grace, Lord. And I need cleansed this morning. Lord, I need you to control my thoughts today, Lord. And may the words of my lips be pleasing to your ears. And Father, I just give you all the glory now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Therefore, if any man be in Christ... Amen. Do you remember when you first got in? Can you think back in your mind and remember when you first got in? You didn't really know what to expect, did you? Amen. I didn't either. I had no clue what it meant to be. I knew what it meant to have my sins forgiven. I knew what it meant to be free from the dread of going to hell. I knew what that was like, but I did not realize all the things that came along with salvation. And I guess I'm still learning it, because I'm a forgetful learner. I don't know about you, but I'm a forgetful learner. Are y'all? Amen. We grow a little while, and then this world, Satan uses the decoys and the traps of this world to trip us and make us fall down, and we feel worthless before God, and we've got to get up and take God by the hand and say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me, and I need to keep walking, and we need to keep walking, because the further we go, the more we grow, the more we understand who we are and what we are to be in Christ Jesus. But I want us to look this morning. I've got about four or five things I want to point out to you this morning regarding these all things have become new. Amen. Number one, when a person comes to Jesus Christ, and I know you, these are not things that we don't know, but these are things we need to be refreshed on. These are things we need to be reminded of. Amen. I found that some of the greatest sermons were not new things that just baffled me, but they were old things that I was told again, and the light came on. And it was like all of a sudden, hey, I forgot that. I needed that. Where did that go? And that's the benefit of preaching this kind of sermon this morning. Number one, he has a new life in Christ Jesus. Amen. The one who comes to Christ, the one who has been regenerated, amen, made over, has a new life. As we know, these are scriptures we're very familiar with, but Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul mentions life and living a whole bunch in that scripture. That's exactly what he wants us to understand. I'm not the same old Paul I used to be. I'm not that at all. Amen. And I'm still here, and you still see me, but that's not me anymore. It's not me. It's Christ living in me. It was Christ that caused him to walk away from everything he'd ever known. It was Christ that caused him to turn his back on all of the human achievements that he had made. It was Christ that caused him to say, you know, if I live or I die, either way, I'm okay. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He has something new now that he didn't have before. He has a new life. It's not the old life. That's something we have to understand when we come to Christ. We are not just picking up where we were the day before we got saved and moving on. We're new. It's different. Listen, first of all, he has a new lease on life. Amen? Listen, I was on my way to hell when I got saved. I mean, I was a hell-bound sinner. I had no hope. Amen? So, I mean, right there, right out. Look up here, kids. Listen. I didn't have a thing in the world going for me before I got saved. I mean, I had material things. I had a good home. I had good meals on the table. I had good clothes to wear. I had a nice place to live. But other than that, I had no future. Amen? My future was doom. My future was hell. That's where I was headed. And praise God, he set me free from that. Amen. And it may not seem like that big of a thrill this morning. Maybe you ain't thinking about it hard enough. But I can tell you something. If we were sitting on death row this morning, and all we had to look forward to was them to come down and unlock that door and say it's time, and us limp down there in those shackles and get strapped into that table and have them things put in our arms or be strapped into an electric chair or put in a gas chamber, and all of a sudden there was a call from the governor, and he said, you received a full pardon. And you can be set free. I can tell you right now, that would just overjoy you. Well, we got something better than that. Amen. Praise God. We were going to burn forever. We were going to burn forever and ever and ever in the flames that are hotter than any fire that's here on earth. Not only that, we'd have been tormented by demons forever and ever and ever in a place, in a lake of fire and brimstone. We'd have had a conscious realization of our lost condition forevermore and how God offered us his salvation and we rejected it. And praise God, we don't stand in those shoes. Praise God, we have a new life. It's something to be excited about. It's something we should never get over. It's something we should never lose the joy of. Praise God. We have got a new life in Christ Jesus. Not only do we have a new lease on life, but we have a new personal friend that we didn't have before. We sing the song, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. We do have a new friend. Praise God. And we don't talk to him enough. We don't rely on him enough. God, listen, God has provided us the best friend that we could ever have. He is our best friend. Praise God, and he loves us with a love that we don't even fully understand. I guarantee you there's not a single one of us, if you pooled all of our study, if you pooled all of our time in the Word of God together, we have not even scratched the surface of understanding how dear Jesus Christ is. Not a one of us. We do not yet consciously comprehend just how much he loves us. Just what, I mean, I've spent lots of time studying. I've spent a lot of time meditating on what he did for me. But I tell you right now, I still do not fully appreciate it like I ought to. Amen. It does, and I can tell you that because I know the joy that comes when I fully get my mind wrapped around it. I know the rejoicing that stirred up in my spirit when I focus on just who Christ is and what Christ has done. Listen, I don't spend enough time in that place. I dare say you don't spend enough time in that place. We have a new life and we don't even enjoy that new life near enough. We spend way more time focused on the old life that's dead and will never ever be live again, and we don't spend near enough time focused on what we do have. Amen? We're looking down instead of looking at Jesus. Amen? We're looking all around and we're not looking at Jesus. He said we're to keep our eyes single. We're to keep our eyes focused on Christ. Amen? If we look away, we're looking into darkness. If thine eye be single, the whole body's full of light, the Word of God says. That's focused on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We ought to focus on that. We ought to focus on him. We ought to spend more time meditating on the Word of God and what Christ has said and what Christ has done. What a friend. You'll never have one any better. Listen to me, young people. You'll never in this world find a friend who will be closer than Jesus. I can tell you I've had some good friends in my life, but you know what? They're not there now. Time separated us. Life separated us. And some of them were good friends. We'd be friends for the rest of our lives, we said. Best friends, best buddies. And now I don't know that we even call and talk hardly ever. Matter of fact, one of my best friends I called the other night, hadn't talked to him in almost, maybe 15 years. Caught up like that. But hey, it'd been a long time we hadn't spoken. You know what? And he was one of my best friends. But I can tell you right now, I've never had a friend like Jesus. Never had a friend like Jesus who's loved me like he has. Amen. I have life now that I did not have before. Listen, not only that, I have a new power source in my life. Amen. My power don't come from me. Your power does not come from you. Amen. Your strength does not lie in you. Listen, we're feeble. We're so weak when it comes right down to it. We're forgetful. My goodness, I'm forgetful. I can't remember what I did 5 minutes ago most of the time. And the older I get, the more forgetful I get. It scares me to death, Thomas. I'm afraid one of these days I'm going to wake up and have Alzheimer's because I forget so much. But listen, I'm going to tell you, I mean, it scares me, brother. Hey, getting older ain't no fun. Amen. I done figured that out. I've got to the tipping point where I figured out it ain't no fun. But you know what? Even as my body gets weaker, even as my mind gets weaker, I can tell you there's a part of me that doesn't get any weaker, and that's my spirit. Amen? Because the Lord strengthens that part of me. I have a new power source I never had before. Amen? And I can go to Him, and He never loses any of His power. Matter of fact, He's as powerful as He's ever been, and He'll never be a speck less powerful than He is today. Amen? There's nothing going to change in the Word of God. Amen? It will never change. Praise God. And it's my power source. Amen? I can rely on Him to get me through things that I don't have the strength to get through. I need to remember that. Every time a problem knocks the wind out of my life, every time that I feel like I can't get up and keep going, I need to remember, you're looking at the wrong thing, Brandon. You're looking at yourself. You're looking at your own self-motivation. You're looking at your feelings. You're looking at your understanding. The Bible tells me to trust in the Lord with all my heart and to not lean into my own understanding because it will fail me. That's not where my power lies. It's not in me. It's in the Lord. And the Bible tells me that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The things in my life that I don't think I can do because I'm not strong enough, I don't rely on my strength. I have to rely on Him. Listen, He is my life, not myself. Not only do I have a new lease on life and a new personal friend and a new power source, I have a new purpose in life. You know, it took me 20 years of being saved before I realized that. That's a shame. And I hate to say that. I'm embarrassed to say that. But praise God, I came to. Amen. I came to realize what God wanted me to do with my life. It was not to live for me. And I know I've preached this 1,000 times, and you know it like the back of your hand. But it's worth saying again. Amen. I'll say it till the day I die. Listen, I wasted my life. I wasted and wasted and wasted and wasted. And finally God said, you've wasted enough. It's time you give it to me. And once He gave me that, I can't tell you the joy that overcame me because I had been a waste. I had wasted so much and I had never invested myself hard enough in anything and I never felt like I fit anywhere. And then all of a sudden I realized that's because I wasn't doing what God called me to do. And once I found out where God wanted me and what He wanted me to do, I felt like, hey, I've got a purpose in life now. Listen, it's not just the preacher. It's not just because he called me to pastor. He called me to pastor church. That's not why. It's because I now realize, hey, I'm supposed to be representing Him to the world. I'm supposed to be a beacon of light in the darkness. I'm supposed to share the life that God has gave to me with those who are dead. I'm to take the light that God gave me to those who are in darkness. I'm to carry the medicine for their sins. I have a purpose that I've never had before. Amen? Listen, we have so much in Christ, and we don't even dwell on it near enough. We don't think about it near enough, what we have. Listen, it's a new life, and it never ends, praise God. It never ends. It just gets better. We sing songs about it. You know, listen, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. It's a new life. It just gets better and better and better and better. Praise God. All things are become new. He has a new life. Number two, when a person's in Christ, he has a new loyalty. he has a new loyalty. 1 Corinthians 4:2, the Bible says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." That's loyal. That's loyal. A steward is one who's the caretaker of a household. I know none of us in here wealthy enough to have a steward. I know that. But you know, there have been people throughout history there still are today. People are so wealthy and they got so much stuff they can't take care of it all. They have to hire somebody to manage their things for them. And I know we don't understand that, but it's fact. It happens. Amen. But you know what? We are stewards in God's household. And God expects us to take care of his things. He's left us here in charge of it. My goodness, think about that. God has left you and I in charge of his things. You know, don't you? Sometimes I feel like, Lord, you could have found somebody a little more qualified than me. But God trusted me with it. He trusted you with it. Young people, God has trusted you with his business. Do you realize that? You probably don't fully realize it, but someday you will. God has entrusted you with this book. God has entrusted you with his business. Amen? If people are going to get saved, God has entrusted us with the gospel message. Amen? If people are going to know who Christ is and what he can do for them, he's entrusted us to share it. We have a loyalty to God. Amen? That's what we have now that we're his. A loyalty to God. 2 Corinthians 7:10-11. The Bible says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of this world worketh death." Now listen, we're talking about loyalty to God. He said, "For behold," this self-same thing. What is he saying there? He's saying, let's take a look at what happens when somebody comes to repentance and they get saved. They come to repentance unto salvation. What happens? He says, "Behold, this self-same thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort. God broke our heart over our sin. God showed us how wicked we were. And so we sorrowed after a godly sort. And the Bible says, what carefulness it wrought in you." You know, after I got saved, I didn't see my sin the same way I did before I got saved. Matter of fact, I didn't even see my sin before I got saved. Did you? No. But now I see it. Listen, I don't know about you, but I can't sin and get away with it. I can't. It bothers me when I sin. If you're a child of God, it's going to bother you when you sin. Amen? Now, you may be backslid as a devil, and you may be cold as a stone, and it might not bother you much, but I can tell you something, it bothers you a little, because I can remember. I can remember when I was at my most backslidden point. I can remember still feeling burdened over my sin. The Bible says, what carefulness it wrought in you. Why does it bring about a carefulness in us? Because we realize my sin drove him to the cross. My sin put the nails in his hands. My sin brought the stripes down upon his back. My sin put Jesus in the condition he is when he was hanging on that cross. I'm talking about, we've never seen Jesus the way that Jesus was when he hung on that cross. We've never seen any representation of anybody in any form. And I know we're not supposed to make idols. We're not supposed to put up an image of Jesus because no one knows what he looks like. But the Bible gives us a clear description of how they tortured his body, of how they destroyed his body before they ever nailed him to the cross. I don't blame the Roman soldiers. I do not blame the Jews. I blame me. Because it was my sin that put him on that cross. And because it was my sin that put him on that cross, and because he saved me, and because he washed me as white as snow, now, when this old dead body that I'm carrying around, even though I'm a new creature, I've got this old dead body that stinks and wants to do what it wants to do. Every time I fail him, it bothers me, and it causes me to want to be careful not to do it again. That's what salvation will do. That's that when you're new, when you're changed, when you're not the same as you were before, it breaks your heart when you break his. That's what love will do. Love says, hey, I don't want to hurt you. Love says, the last thing I want to do is hurt you. And because I love him, because he loved me first, and he died for me, I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to grieve God. I don't want to make God look at me and want me to not be such a louse. Amen. I fall down all the time, don't you? I hate myself when I do that. Listen, it makes me want to be careful not to do it anymore. Amen. The Bible says, what clearing of yourselves. Not only that I will not want to do it anymore, I don't want people to remember I did it. I want to remove myself from the way I used to be, because I'm not the same as I used to be anymore. And I'm not loyal to my sin. I want to be loyal to God. Amen? And my loyalty to God says I can't live like I used to live, because I'm disappointing him, and I can't live in disappointment to God like that. I cannot stand myself to live in disappointment, knowing that I'm disappointing him like I am. So I want to get that clear. I want to get that done and out of the way. And the Bible says, yea, what indignation is a part of my loyalty to God. Guess what? I need to hate what God hates. If God hates it, I should hate it. That's a tough one today. Because you know what? Everybody knows that. Everybody that's on Facebook, we all got this big community we're associating in. And there's lots of people within that community that don't see things the same way we do. And a lot of times when we'll put things out there, we're going to offend somebody. Well, you know what? Let them be offended. Let them be offended. He said, but I'm going to lose my friends if I get angry at sin, because they're going to think, well, he thinks he's better than everybody else. Look at him just preaching away like he's the best thing in the world and he ain't never done no wrong. No, I can't judge things based on everybody else's opinion. I cannot judge what I think and how I feel and where I stand based on everybody else's thoughts, feelings, and opinions. Amen? Because when I die, I'm not going to stand before those people. Amen? When I die and I give an account of myself, it won't be before those people. It'll be before God Almighty. And so I have a loyalty to him that I need to be angry about what he's angry about. I need to love what he loves. I need to get mad at what he's angry at. Amen? And line up with him. Even if the only person I stand with in this entire world is God, then I need to stand with God and not the rest of everybody else. Amen? He said, what indignation and what fear. Listen to me, that's not terror, like I'm scared to death. That's I revere God. I know that he is my maker. I know that he holds these cells together in my body. I know that he keeps his heart pumping and these lungs drawing in air. And if it weren't for him, I wouldn't have anything. So because of that, because I know who I am and I'm nothing before him, it's only his blood of his own precious son that makes me worth anything to him. It's what Jesus has done that makes me worth anything to him. Amen. Without Christ, I'm nothing. I'd be destroyed and my body would be burning forever in hell. I know that I'd be worthless. So I owe him my everything. Loyalty. Not to walk away. Not to turn my back. Not to say, well, people don't like me because I'm so dedicated to God. So you know, I need to kind of slack off a little bit so I can still have my friends. Listen, if they don't want to like you because of your stand for God, then you don't need them. Where's your loyalty at? Is it with God? It should be. If you're in Christ, you're a new creature, and old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Then maybe you need to get some new friends. If the old friends try to get you to compromise what you believe. Amen. The Bible says, what vehement desire. What vehement means hot. Red hot desire. I can tell you, love will make a man do silly things. I've seen it myself. Amen. I guess I've been involved in it. Love will make you do silly things. Love will make you get outside your comfort zone. When you truly love somebody, when you love the Lord with all your heart, it'll make you go further than you ever thought you would to please him. It'll make you want to get outside your comfort zone. It'll make you want to grow and take bigger steps and step out on faith and stand against sin and do something proactive to try to put the light on the Word of God and to shine the light on sin and show what it really is. It'll cause you to have a desire to please Him, to stand up for what's right, to not only to stand up for it, to proclaim it, what's right. Vehement desire. What zeal? That goes hand in hand with what I'm saying. Zeal. That's what people say. Hey, there's something wrong with that person. Man, there's something wrong with that. They're a religious nut. They've lost their mind. No. I didn't lose it. Hey, I might have lost mine, but I found the mind of Christ. Amen? You're not the same as you were. You don't have the same old thinking. You don't have the same old thoughts. Listen, there's something new about you. Listen, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we're to have a whole different outlook on things. We're to have, I mean, what did David say? The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. What do you reckon he meant? He was just somber walking in the house of God. No, he was excited about being there because he was going to be around God's people and God's word was going to be preached and songs that glorified God were going to be sung. And he was looking forward to it. And he said, I can't wait to go to God's house. Listen, a new creature in Christ Jesus ought to have that. We ought to be excited about it. We ought to be excited about being under the preaching of the word of God. We ought to be excited about singing the songs of God. We ought to be excited about praying together with the saints. And what revenge? There's a loyalty to God that says, I'm not what I used to be. And because I'm not what I used to be, every time what I used to be tries to pop its head back up, I need to pop it back down. Say, I'm getting back at you, old flesh. I'm going to get back. Hey, listen, I'm not. When it says revenge, I want you to understand something. That don't mean now that I'm saved, I'm going to get back at everybody done me wrong. That ain't what that means, kids. Look up here. It don't mean I'm going to get back at everybody else. You know what it means? I'm going to get back at me. I'm going to get back at me and my desires to do wrong. I've got God on my side, and every time the devil grabs hold of my flesh and says, hey, let's go do wrong, I need to get that sucker back. I need to show him that's not the way we're going to do things because I have a loyalty to God that I didn't have before. Amen? The Bible says, in all things you have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. Paul was saying to this church that had been so fleshly. The church at Corinth was probably the worst fleshly, man-driven church there was in the entire New Testament. And yet now, because they have shown their loyalty to God instead of their own fleshly desires, he says, in all things you've approved yourself to be clear. Amen. They got with the program. They realized their loyalty was not to themselves and their traditions and the ways they'd always been. No, because that's why they were in the business. That's why they were in the shape they were in. They were doing things the way they had always done them. They were doing things according to the flesh. They were wanting to judge one another in court. They were wanting to sue one another. They were fickle and jealous and trying to be spiritual when they weren't spiritual. All of that was fleshly desires. And God says, no, that's not the way it's to be. And now he says, listen, now you're changed. Now these things have taken place. You realize your loyalty is to God, not to men. So when you have a new loyalty, you have a loyalty to God, but you also have a loyalty to God before men. You don't do it just in secret. You don't just do it, I'll be a good Christian on Sunday. But the rest of the week, I'm not going to be too loud about my Christianity. No, God says you ought to be the same person every day you live. We owe it to the rest of the world that knows us to be loyal to God before them. Because that's our testimony. That's where our testimony is. 2 Corinthians 4:2 says, but ye have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. Listen, we're not. He said, you're not like you used to be. You're not trying to get one over on anybody. You're not trying to be sneaky. Not handling the word of God deceitfully. Some people do that. They use it for their own personal gain. Just turn on the TV late at night and flip through them higher channels. You'll find all kinds of charlatans on there who's taking the word of God and trying to trick people into doing things for their own personal gain. He said, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves or showing ourselves or demonstrating ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And folks, that's what you and I are supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be not trying to hide our faith, not trying to hide our walk with God, but letting other people see it. Amen? Showing ourselves, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That's what God intends for us to do. That's not showing off. That's showing off God. And that's not trying to be... Listen, I'm not saying we ought to try to be super spiritual, because I realize there are some people and that's the way they do things. They want to make people think that they're more spiritual than they really are. No, it ought to be a humble Christianity. But that humble Christianity is not about us. It's about God. Amen? As long as we keep the heart attitude of I'm nothing and He's everything, then it's fine to commend yourself, show yourself unto others, your Christianity. The moment we begin to think that we are something and we promote ourselves, that's when we stop being spiritual. That's when we start being carnal. Amen? So He has a loyalty that's new. Amen? Number three, He has a new love. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We have a new love we didn't have before. Matthew 22:37-40 says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know, when I was a little kid, I used to sit in church and sing, Oh, how I love Jesus. I used to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. I used to sing, Jesus loves the little children. But you know what? I didn't understand it. I really didn't. I heard it. I sang it just because everybody else was, but I didn't understand it. I didn't understand how to love God. I grew up not really fully understanding how to truly love God, because God was way up in the sky somewhere, and here I was down here on earth. I couldn't see Him with my eyes, couldn't put my hands on Him. There was no way for me to truly, I was like, how do I love God? Well, but the Bible tells it very plainly. We're to love Him with all our heart. That's our will. That's in what we do. That's our actions. Amen? If I truly love God, then I need to do the things that are pleasing in His sight. I need to abstain from doing the things that grieve Him. So my actions, the way I conduct myself, the things that I do or do not do, ought to be in direct relation to what His Word has told me about what He expects out of me. I'll not go outside His Word to please myself. I'm only going to hurt myself in doing that. And I'm not going to show Him that I love Him very much. And we've talked about this a million times, but a child that doesn't obey mom and daddy is not a very loving child. Matter of fact, that child is a rebellious child. And that's exactly what we become when we do our own thing and we ignore God's commandments. We're not loving Him with all our heart if we're just doing what we want to do. Just living as if God really doesn't matter until Sunday comes around. We're not really loving Him with all our heart. But you know what? God says we're to have a new love. He says we're to love Him with all our soul. That's our affections. The Lord ought to be number one in our life. Amen? He ought to be near and dear to our heart, so much so that when anything tries to pull us away from our relationship with Him, we ought to immediately sense that something's pulling us away. Oftentimes in marriages start going bad because, why? Because one spouse gets interested in something else more than they're interested in their other spouse. Maybe it's work, or maybe it's somebody else, but regardless, that's when things start tearing up. And if that happens in a marriage, what happens in our relationship with God when we begin to set our affections on things of earth? The very thing that He came to this earth to die, to save us from the wickedness of this world, and we begin to love it, God help us. What are we saying to Him about our love for Him? What are we saying about our affections when they are on things that He cannot stand? God gave us a new love, and it's to be for Him and not this world, not the things of this world. And He said, with all thy mind. That's our understanding. Do you know the more you stay in your Bible, the more you read your Bible, the more you'll love the Lord? Absolutely. And the more you sit and the more you pay attention to the things of this world, the more time we spend in front of the TV, the more we let the television and its program, and by the way, don't miss that word, it's called television programming. It's programming your mind to think a certain way. The more we pay attention to this world and we listen to its television programs and we watch its movies and we listen to its music and we read its stories, the more our minds and our understanding becomes darkened. The Bible tells us that. The Bible talks about Gentiles having their understanding darkened. That, like, again, what did I say earlier? The Bible told us to let our eyes be single, to put our eyes on Jesus Christ. And it says, if thine eye be full of darkness, that's looking away from the light of the world. He's the light. He's the only light. All else is darkness. And we begin to look off to this world. And what's off in this world? Again, the things we were just talking about. We begin to look at those things darken our understanding. And we can't fully love the Lord the way we're supposed to if our understanding's darkened. We begin to forget just how good He is. We begin to forget just how much He loved us. And we begin to forget just how much we have loved Him. That's what darkness will do. It'll darken everything. And we can't see anymore what we used to see and understand. No, God says we're to love Him with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, with our will, our affections, and our understanding. Our whole being ought to be loving God. God put that love in us. We didn't come up with it. It's there, placed there by God Himself. And the only reason it's not functioning properly is we are dwelling too much time in this flesh. We're spending way too much time with the things of this flesh. And we're not feeding our spirit. We're not feeding that love. We ought to spend time just meditating on how much we love Him. I mean, we come up here to church and we sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But do we sit and think about that? Amen? The more time we set our eyes, and I know we don't see Jesus, but we can certainly set our mind's eye upon Him. The more we set our mind's eye upon the Lord Jesus and what He said to us and what He's promised us, the more our love will grow for Him. Well, we've got to spend time devoted to that. And if we truly love Him, we will. You understand that? If you truly love somebody, you can't get away from them. Amen? Don't want to get away from them. So if we truly love the Lord, we ought not want to get away from Him. Again, it ought to bother us when we get away from Him, when we're not as close to Him as we were before, when we begin to backslide. It ought to cause us alarm. We ought to immediately run back to Him and repent of whatever took us away from His side. The Bible says on these two commandments. Oh, also He said, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's simple. When we love God the way we're supposed to love God, and we're thankful for what He's done for us, we're thankful for Him saving our soul, we're thankful that we're not on our way to hell anymore, we're thankful that we're a new creature in Christ Jesus, then we look around and see other people who don't have what we have, and it ought to cause us to want to tell them. It ought to cause us to alarm and knowing that listen, every second that passes is an opportunity for them to slip out in eternity. It ought to cause us to love them enough to want to share Christ with them. The Bible says on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That means this whole book was written for that purpose. That's it. So that people would have new life, and so that they would tell others, and they would have that new life. And so that they would tell others, and that they would have that new life. And they would tell others, and they would have that new life. That's why this whole book's written. That's it. A new love. And number four, and we'll be done. What else do we have? All things have become new. We have new longings, new desires. It changes. Listen, the closer you get to Christ, the more it changes. Matthew 5:6, the Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I don't know a whole lot, but I do know what it's like to hunger. I know what it's like to be starving. And I'm sure y'all know too, because I've kept y'all away after lunch many times. Amen. Listen, I'm going to tell you, sometimes we don't eat until 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, or 1:30, 2 o'clock. And I'll tell you, by the time that rolls around, I can understand hunger. Hunger says, I got to have it. Hunger says, if I don't have it, I'm not going to be satisfied. Hunger says, if I don't have it, I'm going to get weak. And I may faint. That's what hunger says, amen. Thirst will do the same thing to you. I feel like I'm going to fall out if I don't get something to drink. Well, the Bible says we're to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I'm not going to be what you need me to be if I don't spend some time with God. I'm not going to be the husband that I need to be. I'm going to fall short. I'm going to faint as a husband. I'm going to get weak as a husband if I don't spend time with God. I will not be the daddy to these children that I need to be if I don't spend some time with God. I need to know what He wants me to, how He wants me to raise them. I need to know how He wants me to love my wife. I need to know how He wants me to interact with other people. I've got to know these things. And if I don't know them, I'm going to fail Him. So I'm going to hunger for it. Realizing that I will grow weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker every moment that I don't get close to Him. That's what it means to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And He promises us if we'll come to Him, He will fill us up. Amen? I can tell you right now, I've never gone to my mama's house for lunch that I didn't get full. Amen? I know there's a place at that table to be filled. And you know what? There is a place right here in this book to be filled. God promises you, if you come hungry, He will fill you. And if He fills you, listen, you have what you need to give to others. I was reading the story about the feeding of the 5,000. It's a perfect example. Listen, He took what they needed in His hands. In His hands, something so small, which seems so insignificant, can feed so many. Listen, if we come to Him hungry, God has way more than we need. Do you understand? They took up 12 baskets full after they were done. And it seemed like so little that He gave them, but it just made so much. And God will do that in your life. You come to Him hungry, He will fill you and there will be plenty. And you will never go hungry. You ought to long for the Word of God. You ought to long for truth. You ought to long to know Him more than you do. I ought to long for it. We ought to all long for it. 2 Corinthians 6:15. He said, I beseech you, brethren, I'm begging you. Ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and they that have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That last phrase there. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You know what they're saying? They have a longing to serve me. They have a longing to do for others what someone did for them. They have a longing to see that other people have a close relationship with Christ. A selfish Christian is not right with God. Someone who's just got all they want and they're satisfied and that's it. They're not where they ought to be. You know, that's a shame. There's a lot of people in churches today who have that very problem. They feel like they've got enough and they're okay. And they don't need to bother nobody. Nobody needs to bother them. That's not being a Christian. That's not what a Christian's all about. No, God puts a longing in us. Not only for Him, but for other people. See, what does it mean they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints? Well, you can get addicted to a lot of things in this world. But when it all comes down to it, addiction just means I've got to have it all the time. I can't live without it. That's what addiction means. And they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That means that everywhere they went, everywhere these people he's talking about went, they were trying to help somebody else to come to know Christ. They were trying their best to help wherever they were for the kingdom of God. That's a longing that God puts into you when you're His. You don't want to see people get further from God. You don't want to see people struggling. If you can help, you want to help. If you can be an encouragement, you want to be an encouragement. If you can lift somebody up, you want to lift them up. If you can shed some light on their darkness, you want to shed some light on their darkness. See, a person with new longings longs to serve God. It's like, I want to serve you, Lord. I have a desire. I just don't know exactly how to yet, but if you'll show me, I'll do it. That's what we're talking about. You don't have to know exactly where He wants to put you at the moment to have a longing to serve Him. I can tell you, before I ever came to Paris, I sat many a night staring off into the darkness at night, staring at the starry sky and just saying, God, I don't know what you want me to do, but I know you want me to do something, and I want to be right where you want me. I want to be doing exactly what you want me to do. I had a longing and said, I want to serve you. God puts that in us. We're to long see souls saved. We can't listen. A Christian can't stand to hear people around him marching toward hell. God can't stand to see somebody walking. God can't stand to. He's not willing that any should perish. We shouldn't be either. Amen. He put a longing in us. It's like His longing. If we have the mind of Christ, we think like He does. Not only that, a person with new longings longs to have a close relationship with the Lord. It's not just a relationship, but a close one. Amen. I want to have such a close relationship with God that when I go to Him in prayer, I can expect an answer, not hope that I got everything out of the way. I hope He heard me. I hope He'll answer. No, I want to have a kind of relationship to where when I ask, He answers. Amen. Because He's promised that it could be that way. Amen. He said He wanted to give us the desires of our heart. Again, there's a longing to what? Because I'm going to see Him someday. I want to bring something with me. There's a desire to have fruit. There's a desire to bring reward. Amen? There's a desire to make this life worth something. We're just holding on and bearing down and gritting our teeth and trying to make it to the finish line. It ought to be enjoyed, not just endured. There's a longing there to please Him, to help others, to be pleasing in His sight. Amen? I don't know about you, but I long for that. I mean, He made me new. He put that desire in me. I didn't have a desire like that before. You say, well, preacher, you were 7 years old. How do you remember that? I can remember. I remember before I got saved, I didn't have a longing to please Jesus. I didn't even know who He was. I just knew His name. But I know Him now. And if you're His, you know Him now. And He loves you. And He did all of this for you. We're to have a longing to please Him. And if we're not, if we don't have a new longing, if we don't have a new love, if we don't have a new loyalty, if we don't have new life. And I want to tell you this morning, I believe everybody in here, according to your testimony, you're saved. According to your testimony. But only you know. And I realize there are people that are listening to this on the internet, and some of them may not be saved. There may be some who will listen to it later on who are not saved. They don't have these things in their life. And you know what? The Holy Ghost of God will show them that. But you know what the Holy Ghost of God will do? He'll show you if our love, if our loyalty and our longings, all these things are not what they ought to be. He showed us that already this morning. And you know what? God is a God of mercy. And if we this morning, during this invitation, if we just humbly and honestly as we could go to Him and say, Lord, I want to be more loyal. I want to long more for You. I want to love You like I'm supposed to. I want those things in my life. I want that to be stronger. Lord, I'm not satisfied with where I'm at, and I know You're not either. And I don't want to get stagnant. I don't want to sit still. I want to keep growing. I want to keep moving toward what You want me to be. If that's our desire, then we need to come to Him and be honest with Him about it and just lay it at His throne and say, Lord, here I am. Don't quit working on me. Lord God, please draw me to be what You want me to be. Listen, we're to be new. And God can make us new. He can make you newer than you were when you walked in here. You just get some of the old stuff out. Amen? It doesn't belong there. Come to Him and sacrifice it to Him and ask Him to restore the newness. Amen? That's what David cried out, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. If the new has worn off, you know what? It's still new. You just got to go back and have Him polish it up for you. Amen? Come to Him and ask Him to cleanse you. Come to Him and ask Him to forgive you. Come to Him and ask Him to restore some things. Let's stand together. Father in heaven, we thank You this morning. We thank You, Lord, that You're a God of new beginnings. Lord, You're a God of mercy. You're a God of forgiveness and cleansing, and a God of restoration. And Father, we just give You glory for that. And Father, we ask You this morning, we ask You to please come and do business with us, Lord. Come and put Your finger on the problem. Lord, You know exactly what the problem is in our life. And Lord, You know exactly how to fix it. Father, we ought to have longings and for You that are greater than we have today. Lord, please continue to work in our lives, Lord, and make us what You want. Make us into Your image. We thank You this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Salvation should never get old. Amen. All right. Any word from anybody? Anything before we go today? Y'all pray for the service tonight. We'll be at the nursing home. And pray for everybody to make it out there. Amen. We've had a kind of a small gathering the last few times we've gone. And pray for everybody that can to make it out there tonight to the nursing home.